Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind these enemy lines that are called USA Inc. It is a Tuesday night on this January 16th, 2018, a day after the U.S. government recognized an official holiday for Martin Luther King Jr. Many people were reflecting on his legacy. Dave played a nice video for you on Tando Radio yesterday. And I just really am happy that I didn't see a whole lot of people crapping on Dr. King, because I don't understand why every time people start talking about Dr. King, here comes the negativity to downgrade what he did. And this man, what did he do? He gave his life for you. That's what he did. You don't have to agree with his methods. You don't have to agree with anything. But I just don't understand why people take that opportunity to denigrate the man's legacy. We do have a couple of guests scheduled for you tonight and some other information to share. We'll be on till 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern time tonight. Tonight, our guest will be Kim Malanson. She's been a guest on the program before. She is the founder of GIA, which stands for Gender Identity Accountability. And she will join us during this first hour and give an update on her son, DeWanye Hickerson, who was coerced into a guilty plea for the killing of the transgendered person, Dee Wigham, who did not disclose their true gender identity before engaging in sex with the young man. We also will get an update on the Gender Identity Accountability Initiative and discuss the attacks on the singer Ginuwine for saying he would not date a trans woman. I mean, it was just ridiculous how social media was going after him and not going after the transgender person who tried to force himself on Ginuwine and forcibly kissed Ginuwine. And yeah, Ginuwine's the villain for simply expressing his preference in dating. After we speak with Ms. Malanson, we will also speak with Amani, who is an active member of the campaign to bring Mumia home, talking, of course, about political prisoner Mumia Abu-Jamal, award-winning, respected international journalist. The campaign to bring Mumia home is demanding Mumia Abu-Jamal's immediate release and end to legalize slavery and human trafficking, although they use the term mass incarceration. I know what they're talking about. I call it slavery, though. But wants to end the mass incarceration of all indigenous peoples and a compassionate society based on human need and not profit. Imani has been a dedicated still photo documenter for over 10 years and continues to use her skills to expose injustice. So the need to fight for our lives is unquestionable and honored. Again, I can't speak enough on the power of media and how it is such a powerful tool. Malcolm X first turned me on to that, and that's why the Black Talk Media Project was born. So it's great to see people working in media because it's needed. It's definitely needed to expose what's going on, all the evils of this society. And she's Imani stands on the importance of not being complicit in the wrongs of systemic oppression in this or any society, to honor her ancestors and future generations. Now, tomorrow will be an important court hearing related to Mumia's legal case in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. There is an event that has been posted in btrcommunity.com that gives you the details. We want people to turn out and pack the court for that. So that is what we have on tap for you during the first hour. Again, this will be 2 hours of social political news commentary and, of course, music. I love to kick my music. Y'all know I do. BTR News, of course, is hosted by yours truly, Scotty Reed, and I'm glad that you joined me tonight. All right, so without further delay, let me check the board and see if we have Miss Milan-san on the line. Miss Milan-san, if you're on the line, hit ** to unmute yourself, because I don't recognize your telephone number. So if you'll hit ** and we'll get you on. But while we wait, we will go ahead. And this morning, like 2 or 3 o'clock this morning, I put out the Black Talk Radio Network's weekly newsletter. There's been a change in that. I issued the newsletter early this morning. I was up real late last night. We're no longer going to issue that by email, so there's no need to sign up for a special email list. It'll still go out to email, but it'll go out to all those who have subscribed to the platform, blacktalkradionetwork.com, because whenever we post something, it will go out to the emails of those who have subscribed, but the newsletter will just simply be published weekly in the blog section. And of course, I want to apologize for skipping some weeks, but I tell you, we've been dealing with a lot of stuff behind the scenes. Myself and who I like to call Agent M, our volunteer in the UK, and trying to figure out some things, and if Black Talk Radio Network is being impacted by the black identity extremists. And the answer to that is yes. It's yes. And it also, I talked about that in the stat report for November, which was also late, and December will be out tomorrow. But we've been dealing with a lot. But some of the stuff that's in, just some quick highlights for what was in the newsletter. Again, it is published on blacktalkradionetwork.com. Please share it with you. Again, we mentioned network news in there because Black Talk Radio News, y'all know I had suspended the program, but we mentioned to those who may not know, we're back on every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Also mentioned that 2018 is a make or break year for us in terms of fundraising for the Black Talk Media Project. We decided we cannot continue to struggle financially with less than 200 donors ever making a donation and a smaller group giving consistently every month and be able to fulfill our mission. So we talk about that there. The BTR community membership fundraiser drive, we want to attempt to attain 5,000 subscribers to the social media platform. It's just $24 a year. That's a way that we can provide the Black Talk Media Project with an adequate budget to fulfill its mission. Also, I gave an update on one of the hosts on Black Talk Radio Network and an independent radio station manager, Gus T. Renegade of the Context of White Supremacy. He had not been on air. He had not been on air since, I think it was December the 10th, and a lot of people were contacting me, rightly worried about him, and so I give you an update on that situation with him. He did post today to social media to let people know he was okay and that he's still trying to stabilize his situation and he'll be back on the air. So that's in there as well. BTR News, Black Talk Radio Network was recognized in a independent black media publication, the online black media publication of Black Detour, which says it is a digital media platform providing an unbiased, unfiltered, and often thought-provoking conversation transcending black culture. They published a post on January 11th titled 11 Black Podcasts That Are a Must Listen in 2018, and Black Talk Radio Network was included in that list. And so thank you and a shout out to the team members that are managing the independent black media platform, the Black Detour. All right, we will, hey, as I told them on Twitter, we will love to work with them if they want to get a weekly radio program or issue a weekly podcast on Black Talk Radio Network, Black Talk Media Project. Would love to work with them. Okay, and last but not least, a racist article appeared in the conservative media publication National Review, known for its conservative right-wing slant on all things. And the article played up the racist trope about out-of-wedlock black children in crime. They also distorted a CDC study and other studies that show that black fathers spend more time with their children than Latinos and white fathers who came in dead last, whether or not they were married to the mother or not. And I provide links to that article and I give my opinion on that article. But like I stated in the newsletter, one thing is for sure, a lot of white-owned and controlled media has historically played a big role in the promotion of racist propaganda, something Malcolm X understood, and I even included the video of Malcolm X conveying this. All right, so let me check the board and see if we have Ms. Milan-san. Ms. Milan-san, if you are on the board, I see some people from the area that she is from, but I don't see her on the board. If you would hit **, that will unmute you and I'll see you on the board. Let me go ahead and also at the same time shoot her a quick message.
I'm here, Scotty.
Oh, greetings, Kim. Miss Milan-san.
Hi, and how are you?
I'm doing the best I can. How about you?
I'm doing okay as well. Thank you for asking.
Well, thank you for joining us again on Black Talk Radio News. I think the work that you're doing is life-saving, and nobody else is doing this kind of work, okay? And, of course, we've talked about this on that last broadcast, and, you know, I see what you post on social media in the GIA group that's on Facebook, and, I just have to say I'm just very, very proud to know you. Because a lot of people...
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. A lot of people would shy away from this type of work because we know how the dominant population and the media seems to have this agenda where anything goes, you know, and they're not taking in,
right.
They're not taking into consideration other people's rights to self-determination and especially in terms of dating. So... just wanted to acknowledge this is very important work that you are doing. Now, I noticed that you do have the website up. I have linked to the website. The website is giaawareness.org. So you made a lot of progress since we last spoke. And if you would, can you tell us a little bit more about that platform and, you know, just introduce yourself to those who may not have heard you on that prior broadcast.
Sure. My name is Kim Melanson, and I am the mother of Dewanye Hickerson, who was last year known as the Navy sailor who was sentenced to the 40 years by taking an erroneous plea for the encounter that he had with a transgender person who did not identify as a trans woman but identified as a biological woman. And so this was a case where Dewanye met the person, and it was not a good turnout for that, because Dewanye is a straight male, and he was going into this thinking that he was dealing with a biological female. And when he was told after a sexual encounter that this person was a male, he pretty much snapped and he lost it, as he said, you know, time again during court transcripts. And he was subsequently coerced into an erroneous plea deal by our attorney, who, after so much work, even down the line since that plea happened, that we figured out, you know, that she never really was working with us or for us. It was just her working with the state to be another case closed. Let's convict, let's get this plea, and let's keep the ratings that they already have, a 90% plea arrangement for that county. So 90% of people are coerced. And when I say coerced, I mean that my son was given 4 days to decide to take a 40-year plea. So that's not enough time for anyone. He's 21 years old at that time, and she basically told him that if he went to court, that being that he was a young black male, yes, she did play the race card and say, you are a young black male in Mississippi, you know, you may not be able to get a jury to see things your way. I understand what happened, but we just shouldn't go up against the court. And in retrospect, that was not a good idea, but we are now working for Dewanye's freedom. But the GIA organization that I founded is Gender Identity Accountability. And basically what that is a platform for the heterosexual community to say, enough is enough. I shouldn't be labeled a transphobe. I shouldn't be labeled I have hatred if I refuse the advances of someone that is not biologically the identity of the partner that I'm seeking. So if I don't want to talk to a man who is biologically a man who identifies as a woman, I have a right to not do that without being called a transphobe or without being said that you hate, you know, there's hatred in your heart. You have a right to choose. And so your freedom, the trans part of it, is their freedom stops when it infringes on someone else's freedom to choose. And that's mostly the issue here. And the accountability part is that right now there is no accountability at all for any trans individual who deceives, raped by fraud, who is joining dating websites, meeting up with unsuspecting males. And it can go for females meeting up with, you know, for women as well. But mostly we see it more in the heterosexual male community. For some reason, it's a conquest for the transgender male woman, rather, to meet a heterosexual male and to gain their trust by any means necessary. So it's the whole, there's a story that they tell, and you know, it's a lot. So they gain the trust. They don't divulge that they were born a man in most cases, and it ends in tragedy. And so if there were accountability laws, people are very afraid to go up against the trans community for some reason, because they have a very big voice, not just in politics, but everywhere. So on television, just everywhere, they have a big voice. If someone who is trans or part of the LGBT community says something that someone violated them, you have pretty much a whole storm of people after you. So if people get afraid to talk about their experiences if they've been deceived. And so I've always said that, what if my son had this experience and he went back to the barracks or to the base and he killed himself because of being emasculated in such a way, a such personal way? His conviction was not to have a homosexual experience. And who would we have to blame for that? Or who could I or his dad went down to the precinct and said, hey, my son met a trans woman. This is a man, and he raped my son. There would not have been any charges brought up against the trans person at all. So that needs to change. There needs to be some type of accountability for those actions.
Now, I think it's very important, Kim. May I call you Kim?
Yes, of course.
I think it's very important for those who are not familiar with Dewanye Hickerson's story and who did not catch the first interview that we did with Kim, is that they met online. Okay, this wasn't no, I yes. met you in the club and all this and that. They met on a dating app. This person portrayed themselves as a natural born woman, did not disclose themselves as a transgender. Dewanye made it clear that he was interested in a woman. Okay, not a trans woman, but a woman with a uterus. And so they were supposed to meet the first time. D. Wigham, that's the transgender person's name, made an excuse, so they didn't meet that time. Then Dewanye heard from D. Wigham that they were going to be in his area, because Dewanye was stationed in the military, in the Navy, and said, why don't we meet up? Now, they met up. Dewanye's young, 21. Hickerson is, what, 26 at the time or 27 at the time. And it was no beating around the bush. They were going straight to the motel to engage in sex. Went into the room, engaged in a sexual act, and then right after the sexual act, that's when D. Wigham said, by the way, I was born a man, and that is when Dewanye lost his mind, temporary insanity. Did I tell that correctly, Ms. Malanson?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
So I think it's very important that
people
know that.
There's also a part of it that when he signed into the website, it asked male-seeking woman. There is even a section on these websites now that has, you know, transgender, and, you know, there's a way for them to tell. So, you know, the obviously the time to tell someone who you are and what you are is not after a sexual encounter. You know, there was plenty of opportunities for him to disclose this over the phone in a safe environment if you feel threatened. And so that's also one of the things that Gia is trying to accomplish, is helping the trans community understand the mind of a heterosexual male. Not everyone has to be accepting of your transition. That's your journey. It's not theirs. So they don't have to accept that. But there is an appropriate way for you to discuss and divulge this type of information. It needs to be done before you meet the person. I can tell you it needs to be done fast, not on the day of.
Well, especially if the website is giving you the options, that's the proper place to do it, is not to misrepresent yourself on the dating website,
right?
Especially when it gives you that option that I'm a trans person and I'm seeking a heterosexual male. That's all you had to put on there. Okay. That's all you had to put on there. So that deception part. And we also, the last time we interviewed you, we were able to pull up some news stories from different countries around the world where this occurred and the trans person was actually charged. And
absolutely.
And this is what you're seeking to do here in the United States, correct?
That is correct. Because with accountability, it may assist with responsible behavior. I mean, if you know that you're going to go to jail for doing something, I'm not saying that everybody, obviously, you know, there are jails and people do still do things, but I'm sorry, if you feel like this is not a good idea because you can be held accountable for it in a court of law, people may be apt to change the way they do business and how they do things.
And maybe a person who becomes a victim of rape by fraud would know that these laws are on the book, and once they find out, then they will know that they have options and that they can report this person. And so, again, like I stated at the beginning, from my understanding of talking to you and seeing you post about this, this is an initiative to save lives. This isn't an initiative to out somebody. This is an initiative to save lives. You need to give people respect, people. Like you said, my rights end where another person's rights begin. Now, real quickly, because we do have another guest coming up in about 20 minutes, but real quickly, did I mention to you this story about Ginuwine, the R&B singer, and he's on this reality show that I think it's Big Brother UK or something like that. And he had an exchange where this trans person was saying, I can't find anyone to date. I'm having problems. Why won't nobody date me and all this and that? And then asked Ginuwine, would you date me? And Ginuwine said, not if you told me you were a trans person. And so this person then thought it was appropriate to try to force a kiss on Ginuwine, who politely, rebuffed that request or that attempt to forcibly take a kiss off of him. And I was just amazed at the reported backlash of people going after him on social media. And I'm saying, and I'm glad D.L. Hughley said, hey, Ginuwine's the victim here. And so what are your thoughts on this?
I feel that he should have filed sexual harassment charges against the transgender person because that was clearly an unwanted advance. Mm-hmm. He said he was not interested, and you continue. If that were the other way around and it was a man doing that to a woman, that of course they would have been escorted off the set of the show, possibly jailed for harassment because there are rules on those shows, you know. So Ginuwine was labeled a transphobe. Mm-hmm. And I can't understand why that word is thrown around so loosely. Because a phobia is really an extreme or an irrational fear of something. It's an illogical fear of a particular thing or object.
Right.
So I really don't consider a person a transphobe if they choose and do not wish to engage in any type of kissing or sexual relationship with someone who is trans. I believe that you're right to choose your sexual partner or who you want to be in the company of.
Right.
So, again, it's shutting down the heterosexual community as we know it will soon, hopefully not, but to me it looks like it will soon disappear because there are no rights at all, you know, for the heterosexual male or woman who says, no, I don't want any part of this. No, I'm not interested. This man is dealing with the backlash when he is the victim.
Right. Like you said, if he had done that to a woman, he would be targeted by the Me Too movement right now. And
absolutely.
And like you said, lesbians, they have a preference for women. They don't want to be with no men. But nobody's calling them heterophobes. We're recognizing their right to self-determination and their right to choose who they want to have sex with. And that's something that's being denied in this movement. And it's an attack on the heterosexual male. And again, we're not on here to bash anyone. We're not on here to demonize the LGBT community. I believe everyone has human rights. I don't support violent assaults just because somebody's trans or they're gay or whatever, and you know it, and I'm going to beat you up because I think you're a freak or something like that. No, we ain't down for that. We're not down for that. Everybody has a right to self-determination. Everyone has human rights. But like has been said, and I picked this up from Dave of Tando Radio Show, your rights end where my rights begin, or my rights end where your rights begin. Kim?
That's right. Absolutely. So, you know, this is something that is commonplace. Right after Duane's plea, there was a big outbreak with the comedian, Lil Duval. He got involved in a whole thing about that when he said, hey, this guy had a right to not want to sleep with a man, you know. So it turned every time someone opposes the advances of the trans community, there is some type of backlash. And that really needs to stop, because people can do whatever they want to do and not feel bullied. To me, it's a bully tactic almost, that you are demonized online.
It is bullying.
Yes, it is. And it shouldn't be tolerated. But again, there's no legislation. There's no laws to stop any of this. And so that is what Gia is working hard. I am now reaching out to victims of this type of crime, as they call this. Now, there are some people that this is a hate crime for them, and we know that. We know that there are people that target the LGBT community just out of sheer hate. But there are people that are genuinely victims of rape by fraud and have been deceived. And I know just last month there was a young guy in Texas. I don't know if you heard of his case. He was a football player, and he was sentenced to life without the possibility of parole for his role and involvement with a transgender woman. The whole story is a little sketchy to me, because by me sitting on the side of it and from knowing what my son's case was, I see different from when I'm reading articles. So I'm in the process of reaching out to those parents, actually, because I want to hear their side. This is a nightmare for any family. So I can only imagine, because there's really no recourse and there's nowhere for a parent to turn when this happens to their kid. Because here you are, this young man was a prize quarterback for a university in Texas. And the next day, he's arrested for murder, and he goes to court, and he gets life. Never been in trouble either, you know. So that changes your life, and it should change your life's course as well. So that's what Gia is trying to accomplish as well.
Again, you can find out more about this campaign by going to GIAawareness.org. That's GIAawareness.org. That's GIAawareness.org. So, Kim, how is Duane holding up? We talk about on this network the horrors of prison slavery all the time. And, you know, I just would like to get a report on how he's holding up. And if you can, give us some legal updates in terms of his case.
Duane is holding out very well. He is very prayerful. I speak to him every day. For a while, he's in a classification mode. So they moved him from the first facility, and he's in a classification facility. So it's kind of a new experience, because it's leaving county and going into a prison. And for someone who's never been into a jail, it's a different experience. One thing that is kind of helpful for him is that Duane was really like a year out of boot camp. And if you've been in the military, you can see the environment and know there are different personalities in the Bay Area. So in an open base setting. So that was new for him. You know, he's very mindful of his surroundings, of course. And he just told me that it's like television, you know. I think, just not to scare me, because obviously my nerves are just done with knowing that he's there. But he won't be there in that facility for too much longer, because they will move him to his housing facility. So basically what they do is test them for aptitude, and they do mental evaluations and things of that nature. And so hopefully soon he'll just be in a regular setting where we can have physical contact visits with him to see him, because right now he isn't allowed to have visits in that classification setting.
Okay.
As far as the legal process is concerned, we've retained a new attorney for Duwanye. There are a lot of gaps in the defense's case. A lot of things that our defense attorney did not do as a defense attorney for a capital murder case. You know, so that is what we're doing now. So the new attorney is filing, getting ready, I should say, to file some relief. And that will hopefully, we are very prayerful that it will open up the door for hopefully a new trial with a new charge of manslaughter, which what this is really is, mm-hmm. a crime of passion. It was never a second degree and never a capital murder case to begin with. It was more political that they overcharged him. And so that's what the new attorney is seeking. And we're not saying that Duwanye should not be punished, because someone did lose their life, and I don't want to take away from that. I don't want to be callous and say, hey, someone, that's you. You got what you deserve. I don't ever want to be that way, because I'm a parent, and I understand the loss of a child. So we want to be fair. So that's what we're seeking, fairness and justice in a fair manner. And that's the goal so far.
Kim, again, I want to thank you for this very important groundbreaking work here in the United States, because nobody's working on this and nobody is standing up for heterosexuals' rights, whether they be males or females or men or women. We have rights, and our rights seem to be under assault right now. And like you said, we're being bullied just because we have a preference. You know, some people prefer blondes. Some people prefer brunettes. Some people choose to date within their own group and not deal with other out. It's okay for people to have preferences. That doesn't mean that they're horrible
Absolutely.
People. So, but that is how the news media and elements in this society is trying to portray people who have a preference for, especially heterosexual males who have a preference for heterosexual females, who are natural born women. What can people do to help?
Well, right now, because we are in the preliminary stage, soon we're going to start a letter writing campaign. And so when that begins, I hope to get invited back on the show so that I can give out the information for that. Visit the website as much as possible. Engage in the blog. There's a blog section for a person to leave a comment. There's also a polling section, because we're taking those numbers and we're compiling them, because that helps for legislation as well. If we're the only number of five people that care about this, then there's no reason to make a change. So there has to be, you know, let's talk about it. It's a conversation that needs to be had with our sons and our daughters, but more importantly, our black sons need to understand that dating in 2018 is not the same as dating in 89. You know, it's just not. It's different.
Right.
And so we shouldn't shy away from that conversation. It really, really needs to be had, because more and more, I just notice so much more of this happening. And it will continue to happen, because people are not using their awareness and not having accountability for their role in their demise as well. You know, again, we don't promote violence, and we don't want to see any loss of lives. And so hopefully this initiative will save lives.
Well, I again want to thank you for leading this conversation. And you know the door is always open. And once that campaign kicks off to write those letters, please just let me know, and we will have you back on. Or if there's any updates on Duwanye's case, and when you speak to him, let him know the Black Talk Radio Network family has him in prayer, and that we're going to believe for justice in his case.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. Any final words?
No, thank you all. I just appreciate the forum and, you know, always feeling like I can come on this show and let people know, you know, what's real. And I don't believe in fluff. I like to speak realism. And so this is what's real in the world right now. And so we have to deal with it. We can keep turning our heads, but it's not going to change what's going on.
Well said. Thank you for joining us, Kim, and you have a blessed evening.
Thank you, Scotty. You have a blessed evening as well.
All right, so that was Kim Melanson of GIAAwareness.org. Again, that's GIAAwareness.org. And again, I have to agree that this is a very important conversation that needs to be had by all parties so that we can save lives, not lies. All right, we're going to take a music break, and when we come back, we should have Imani on the phone. Tomorrow is January the 17th. There's going to be a court hearing in Philadelphia at the Philadelphia Criminal Justice System, which is located at 1301 Filbert. And we want to pack the courthouse for our political prisoner, freedom fighter, world-renowned journalist, Mumia Abu-Jamal. And Imani will come on and share some details about that with us. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind these enemy lines of USA, Inc., where slavery was never abolished. It was just transformed. And we need to end it. Stay tuned. We'll be back on the other side of this break.
I have a website where on my website there is a tab that's photojournalism. It currently has an exhibit that I did for five mothers that had been victimized by police brutality, meaning their children had been murdered due to police brutality here in the Bronx. The five mothers that I documented, I'm still creating, but I wanted to create a platform that I can continue to tell their story from their side and not from, of course, the oppressive side or the fraternal order side. And that's on my website, www.insightephotography.com.
Give it out one more
time. I also had a Facebook page, but they shut my Facebook page down.
Oh, really?
That had a lot more. Yeah.
Yeah. So Mark Zuckerberg's into censorship. It just came out today, or maybe yesterday. I published it in our social media community. We have a social media platform that's very similar to Facebook, and we're actually having a 5,000 membership drive for 2018, where we don't censor people. We allow people to use pseudonyms or their real name. It's up to them. But Mark Zuckerberg, his platform is known for censoring people. And while they eliminated your page or your group, there's a lot of white terrorist groups that's still active on there. And we hear about it when one of their members commits a heinous act of terrorism against a non-white person in this country. So, you know, we at Black Talk Media Project are about creating options and safe spaces for people.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
This is a very important court case or hearing tomorrow. Judge Leon Tucker ordered the district attorney's office, and you have a new district attorney who was recently elected in the city of Philadelphia, and they've been ordered to present new testimony in reference to Ronald Castile. As I mentioned before you came on, Ronald Castile was he a judge or a district attorney at the time of his involvement?
He was an assistant district attorney on one of the older case.
Right.
He's the assistant district attorney.
And
in the older case.
Yeah.
And then he was then part of the prosecution in another case. And as far back as you can see on any proceedings against Mumia, or even the proceedings that Mumia was appealing for his release, Ronald Castillo is there. He is there giving some type of word, opinion, all the things that you would need or they need to put someone and keep someone in prison. He made those decisions. He was there helping them make those decisions, which would mean that he was in personal contact of what would happen to this particular inmate or any involvement to a critical decision for this particular person, which is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
And as the flyer packed the courthouse for Mumia Abu-Jamal, again, folks, this is going down tomorrow, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. at 1301 Filbert, which is the Philadelphia Criminal Justice Center. But he actually did a little more than, you know, just speak some words and you know.
Yeah, no.
He forgot.
I'm using that language because it's personal. This is why Mumia deserves the new trial or dismissal, because just as it stated back in, 1989, there was a judicial decision for Williams versus Pennsylvania, where it says that any judge that holds or is participating in a criminal appeal, the person that is being held against their will or held or charged or whomever should have a legal and standing prosecutor that had no type of judicial
involvement,
significance
mm-hmm.
on this other person. If you're going to be a judge, you cannot have any bias. You have to be impartial completely.
Right.
And they kept on denying that he kept on denying that he was in any type of partiality or that he had made any decisions, period. So even a small decision that you made, that makes you a significant person, makes it that you were significant in any personal involvement of this prosecution.
Right.
Of the prosecution of this person.
Right. And he didn't recuse himself when Mumia's case came before the state Supreme Court. And as noted in the flyer, the U.S. Supreme Court, you know, not the state court, but the U.S. Supreme Court had ruled that such conduct that this person, Castillo, exhibited in his activities in Mumia's case was unconstitutional. So
because he had minimized it.
Right.
And they said that his minimization was not credible.
Now, we know that there was I would call it, maybe it's not accurate, but this is the best way I can describe it, a progressive coalition to get this new DA elected who ran on a platform of justice and sort of like anti-establishment, had always worked as a defense attorney. As far as I know, never as a prosecutor. And there is some hope that this person will comply with the court order to present this new testimony in reference to Castillo and his improper and unconstitutional conduct. What are your hopes? Does it look good? What are people saying?
Well, I don't have a hope. I'm in demanding stance of freeing and releasing Mumia because of this unconstitutional act and the judicial bias of the Judge Castillo. And if there is any other alternative, meaning he would have to get a new trial, I think that it would be in the Supreme Court's best interest to not have him go to trial, because it would be exposing
mm-hmm.
all of the cover-ups
right.
that were created from 1989 or 80, 1982 till now, it will be exposing all of the cover-ups, every recuse, every appeal that went through, and no one responded to it. It shows neglect and negligence on their part. So I think that, I'm in demanding stance that they release him tomorrow.
And we're going to stand with you in that demand that our elder brother be released. Now, there is some action that people can take. Again, if you are in the Philadelphia area, this is happening tomorrow, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. at 1301 Filbert. That is the Philadelphia criminal justice system. And we hope to see that courtroom or courthouse packed for Mumia Abu-Jamal. But if you're not in that area or not able to attend, you can contact the DA's office and tell them to release all Mumia files to the public. And you can do that by calling 215-686-8000. That's 215-686-8000. Or you can email justice@phila.gov. Let me spell that. PHILA.gov. So that's justice@PHILA.gov. Imani, thank you for your work on behalf of the people and in particular on behalf of our elder freedom fighter, Mumia Abu-Jamal. Do you have any final comments you would like to leave our listening audience with?
I think that the final comments would be that it only takes one person to continue to show what is wrong in this country, and it takes all of us together to know what we need to do to change, to restore order to life and the conditions that we as a people, of course, as an African people, as an indigenous to America's person, myself, or what they would call a person of color, we know what we need to do. And it only takes one thought to continue that, though, because that one person is a unified person in bloodlines, ancestral bloodlines, going way back to the strength that it takes for us to be here right now and for us to stand for future generations, period. So continue to fight. You are one person. You are many, though. Me is we is what my mother always taught me.
Well, I want to thank you again, Imani, for your work on behalf of the people. You have a blessed night and stay safe behind these enemy lines of USA Inc.
Same to you, brother. Yuhuru.
All right, Yuhuru. Right, we are at the top of the hour. We're going to take a station identification break, a quick promo, and we will kick some music. I love my three in a row, so get ready for three in a row. If you have any music requests, and I don't want to hear no punk rock, nothing against the punk rockers out there. I don't want to hear no punk rock. I don't want to hear no rock music. I don't want to hear no heavy metal music. I'm strictly hip-hop and R&B. And make it clean music, too. We don't want no music that's promoting any kind of immoral behavior, any illegal behavior. We know that saturates the corporate radio market. No, we about uplifting music, okay? So you can leave those requests there in our chat room, which is located at uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. That's uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. When we come back, we'll also open up the phone lines for the last hour. We're taking your calls at 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025. I definitely want to talk a little bit about Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy, the distortion of that legacy. I was trying to put out a video. Well, actually, I did get the video up on our Black Talk Radio YouTube channel. It's been posted in btrcommunity.com. It's titled Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. versus Dr. Boyce Watkins. If you haven't seen that video, I'll explain it to you. I may even play it for you, but You know, we just got a lot of people that pay lip service to legacies of our freedom fighters, but they're not actually carrying on that work. They're just paying lip service. They, oh, he's a great person, and yeah, he was great, and he did this, and he did that. But then you're engaged in activity that is counter and supporting that what our freedom fighters like Dr. King were fighting. So stay tuned. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. The live broadcast is every Tuesday night beginning at 8 o'clock p.m. We'll be going up until the 10 o'clock hour. Podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio, new black media. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in on this broadcast from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. We heard from Rockwell there, Somebody's Watching Me, featuring Michael Jackson. One of my all-time favorites, club favorites, Fantastic Voyage by Lakeside. And we also just heard from, man, I'm about to forget the name of that group. Y'all can tell by my age, right? Type of music I listen to. I'm telling you, man. But my music tastes range from the 70s, 80s, and up to the 90s. Although I do like some of that underground hip hop, especially that freedom music that comes out. But that was Stay a Little Wild Child. All right, so got a couple of articles that I want to share with you. But before I do that, I want to talk quickly about Dr. King's legacy. As y'all know, yesterday, not that we need the United States to tell us when we can celebrate somebody, because certainly, like has been said by Public Enemy, most of my heroes don't appear on those stamps. So we don't need no federal holidays to tell us to recognize people. But you know, a lot of people were sharing the legacy, and I felt like some of those people were just paying lip service, a bunch of celebrities and stuff who aren't not engaged in the work that Dr. King was engaged in. And there's also, I feel like, has been a distortion of his legacy. I didn't see as many videos or comments yesterday. You know, it's just like every time for those who celebrate Christmas. Why are you celebrating Christmas? Don't you know that's a pagan holiday? Well, most people know that. They know that, but they just do it out of tradition or whatever. I allow people to have whatever they want to do. It's not for me to come in like Mr. Scrooge and be trying to blow up the party or something like that, you know. And so, you know, everybody has a right. There's a self-determination. And I truly believe in that. But why is it on MLK Day, people just feel the impulse to say, oh, he destroyed the black community with that integration and all of that? When has black folks not been integrated into this society? You was integrated once your ancestor was brought over here as a victim of slavery. Weren't they integrated into America as what? As victims of slavery. So I don't even understand why people say that we've always had integration. All right. We've always had integration. So I just think that word games are being played when we talk about that. And again, these are my opinions. Agreement is not necessary. I don't expect everybody to agree with me because I certainly don't agree with everything other people say. All right. But my thing is that they were fighting for justice. You got people taking your money, I'm talking about in the form of taxes, to pay for the nice schools and equipment for the white children, while your children went to a little shack. May not have had any heat in it, secondhand books, broke down equipment. And so they were demanding that, hey, we pay taxes like everybody else. We want y'all to redirect them resources right back to our communities and stop giving it all to the white community to build up their community. That's what they were fighting for. And the trick that the system played on them, the cruel trick that they played on them was they were like, you know what? Okay, we're going to end segregation. We're going to close these schools. We're going to fire some black teachers and what have you. And that's how we're going to deal with that. That is not what Dr. King and every other person, from young people to old people, our elders, were out there marching for and fighting for in their way. You ain't got to agree with their tactics. Okay. So I think there's a big distortion concerning that. You are integrated into this society, but at the same time, we still got segregation today. We still, and I got a couple of articles that I'm going to share to prove that. So all of those that's missing the days of segregation, dang, I mean, you living during that time period right now. That's what the data say. That's not what I say. That's not me talking. That's what the data says, that America is still segregated. So how are you talking about integration destroyed the black community? Okay, because the black community is being destroyed right now. It's being destroyed. When has it not been destroyed? When have our families not been torn apart by the oppressors and the slavers? So I just think that people need to start giving these things more thought. And I understand where it comes from. It comes from propaganda. We got certain people in our community in order to I guess push their agenda for is to tear down somebody else's. In order to puff up their chest, they got to deflate somebody else's. And that's just not cool. You should be able to stand on the merits of your own movement and not tear down somebody else's movement. As long as their movement is based on justice and getting justice for people. So I got a couple of stories, but before I do that, I'm going to play this video for you that I made and posted just hours ago. I actually got started on it early this morning, because again, I was up to 3 a.m. working, and I saw this tweet this morning from Dr. Boyce Watkins, and it kind of pissed me off. And you'll understand why. I have a personal history with that man, and I'm going to just let you hear the audio to this video. Again, it's been published in btrcommunity.com. It's also on our YouTube channel. So I'm going to let you listen to this, because I'm just tired of people giving lip service to our freedom fighters, and the things that you're engaged in is counter to the things that they were engaged in. So here we go. Let me pull this up. Here we go. Greetings, this is Scotty Reed of Black Talk Radio News. Catch my live broadcast every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on blacktalkradionetwork.com. On this particular video, I want to take a look at a comment that was tweeted out, as you can see, about 12 hours ago. This was yesterday on the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. holiday that is recognized by the United States. So some people get a day off, some people don't. Anyway, we got Dr. Boyce Watkins on here asking a question: would Dr. King be proud of the black community today? And I tell you, this guy really gets under my skin at times. I have a personal history with Dr. Boyce Watkins. I think he is a black conservative in the closet. Some of the things that he says, I would expect to come from the mouths of people like Ben Carson and other black conservatives who had this pull yourself up by your bootstrap mentality and want to blame black folks entirely for their condition. So listen, pride comes before a fall. And we are told, spiritual people, we know that we should guard against getting a big head and being puffed up and get, you know, just being so proud in ourselves. That's why I had to learn how to take compliments from people, because I don't want to be getting a big head or anything about anything that I'm doing it, because I'm not doing it for compliments or anything. I'm doing a job because it needs to be done. But this comment really disgusts me on several levels. The first level it disgusts me on, this is the type of dumbed down stuff that is promoted to black people. Would Dr. King be proud of the black community today? And so I responded to Dr. Boyce Watkins, and I asked him, what kind of question is that? Dr. Watkins apparently doesn't know what Dr. King stood for. Okay, Dr. King would not be taking these little sly, underhanded, backstabbing comments about the black community. Do we have criminal elements within the black community? Yes, we do. All communities have those elements. Are there things that people do that we're not proud of or what have you? Yes, no doubt. But it ain't a matter of me being proud of the black community. It isn't a matter of them needing my approval. No, it's not about that. But in the context of Dr. King's legacy, I don't think Dr. King will be judging black people. What, you think that there weren't criminal elements during the time of Dr. King? Come on now. There has always been a criminal underground. But let's talk about the reasons why people commit crimes. Now, some people, they just evil, all right? That's what's in them, and they just want to hurt people. They want to harm other individuals. But some people are forced into a life of crime by this racist society because of racial discrimination, pay discrimination, you know, in jobs and what have you, how our communities are oppressed by 21st century slavery and human trafficking. There's a number of reasons. And some of these things aren't even crimes, like possessing weed. I don't believe anyone should be going to prison or jail because of some substance the United States government outlawed and said, hey, you can't put that into your body. And now we have the world's largest private prison population, the world's largest public prison population, and their labor is being exploited. And even if they are not put to work for various corporations and what have you, their labor is used by the state to save, quote unquote, save tax dollars. But as much money as they spend to warehouse human beings, you're not saving any money. All right. So this is just disgusting. This comment from Dr. Boyce Watkins. And yes, I'm going to just be honest. I do not care for Dr. Boyce Watkins. Is some of the stuff he share good or, you know, something that is wise? Or yeah, a broken clock is right twice every day. So, you know, that doesn't mean that he is correct about everything. And this just speaks to me about some hardy-tardy attitude and looking down on people less fortunate than ourselves. If Dr. King was here, as I stated, he wouldn't be making these sly, underhanded comments about black people. He would be blasting on the United States for the prison slavery, the engineered poverty. One of the last things he was working on was a poverty tour and reparations. He'd be blasting on the institutional racism, the slave catcher police brutality, the U.S. militarism, especially with a guy like Trump who seems intent on starting a war with every country on this planet. It's crazy. And he would also be blasting on capitalism, something that Dr. Watkins promotes as a savior for the black community. Well, again, he must not have listened to many of Dr. King's speeches, because Dr. King would not be approving of him promoting black capitalism in this rigged venture capitalist system as some kind of savior for black people. That sound like some conservative type crap or ideology. Okay? So I'm just tired of this guy dumbing down the black community, exploiting the black community, and exploiting Dr. King. Because Dr. King would not be coming out his mouth like that. And again, this guy has stolen ideals from me without giving me any kind of credit. Yvette Carnell of Breaking Brown has talked about how he has used people to write articles for Your Black World and not paying them. And now we find out that he has sold Your Black World and his other media properties to some white venture capitalists. It was put out in a press release. So how are you going to be about creating black businesses, supporting black businesses? And seems to me your solution is create a business, grow it, and sell it to white folks. All right, this has been Scotty Reed with a Black Talk Radio commentary. All right, so that's one side of Dr. King's day yesterday that I saw. Lots of people on TV, these celebrities and whatnot, talking about Dr. King and what he stood for, but they don't stand for it. In fact, many of them, and I'm talking about a lot of them, I ain't talking about no particular class of people or color of people. I'm talking about all of them. We got these rich, wealthy people on television talking about Dr. King, and these people ain't working on none of the issues that Dr. King was working on. They ain't trying to get us reparations. They ain't out there fighting for the impoverished in this country, even after the UN went to Alabama and said, this is crazy. This is like third world poverty, okay? They ain't doing none of that. They ain't trying to call out the U.S. government on all these wars unless it's their guy who's in office. If their guy is in office, then they all for, like, destroying Libya, Barack Obama, Obots out there, all right? And capitalism. Capitalism is not going to save us as a people, okay? It's just not. You can see capitalism ain't even working for white folks. So what makes you think it's going to work for black folks? And they don't speak out against capitalism. This is a rigged system. And the data keeps showing ever since the Reagan administration, they introduced those voodoo trickle-down economics. And the gap between the wealthy and the poor is ever growing. And there is no middle class, even though I hate people who just give lip service to the middle class without talking about the poor. They only concerned about the middle class having money so that they can go spend it on trinkets to make them rich. And I don't like hypocrisy. I'm not saying I'm a perfect human being. I'm learning just like everybody else. And I try to work on my flaws as a human being. But some stuff is just so blatant and so obvious. You gonna pick one day to celebrate Dr. King? Why not celebrate Dr. King by carrying on his work 365 days a year? And the things you're engaged in is counter to that. So that's those people that give him lip service. But then we got those other people that like to tear him down and blame him for destroying the black community. I made a video last year. It's on YouTube. Somebody left a comment on it yesterday, I guess. But we hear this thought, before the end of segregation, and again, segregation was never abolished, just like slavery was never abolished. That's what the data says. That's what the Constitution says. But they want to blame Dr. King and the Civil Rights Movement, saying, we had everything we needed back then. And that's a doggone lie. And I made a video that was talking about all the great migrations from the South to the factories, you know, to go work in the factories in the North, because there wasn't no jobs in the South where most black people were concentrated, because that's where most black people were enslaved, was in the American South. All right. So we didn't have everything we needed. Did we have a few businesses? Did we have a few communities that were prosperous? Yes, we did. And look what happened to them. They got destroyed because those people did not organize to protect what they had. And even then, when you up against a greater force, you just can't. It's nothing that you can do sometimes. You know, and we had people who died standing on their feet trying to defend what they had. But we did not, all of us, the millions upon millions of descendants of slaves in this country. I mean, come on. In the 60s, they were how many generations out of slavery? Okay, they were what? Maybe one or two generations? Maybe their grandfather was enslaved or grandmother was enslaved. So they wasn't even far out of slavery, the pre-1865 chattel slavery. Not the current period of slavery we're in. So when they got released off those plantations after the fraudulent Emancipation Proclamation and at the conclusion of the Civil War, was the property of their enslavers divided up and given to them? Was all the silver and the gold and whatever monies those slavers had, was that divided up and taken from them for being traitors to the Union? Did they have their stuff confiscated and then distributed to their victims of slavery? No, then none of that happened. And they never got their 40 acres in the mule either. So where they get all these resources to create all these black businesses that was employing millions upon millions upon millions of descendants of victims of slavery? It's important that we research, people. It's important that we not just believe stuff just because it gets repeated over and over and over and over. During the 1930s, you know, people like to bring up Marcus Garvey. Well, the United Nations, what was it? The United Negro Improvement Association, in its charter, actually called for an end to segregation and said that the Negro should be treated with dignity and respect and equality, no matter where he is in this world, whether he's in Africa or whether he's in Europe or whether he's in America. That's what their charter said. He kind of got away from what their founding charter said. And I'm not going to go into that. But that's a lie. Our people still don't have everything they need. So I found these three articles. For those that missed the days of segregation, I don't know what you're missing it for, because you're still living in a segregated society. Sure, you can go shop where you want. And you could do that back then. You just had to go to the back door. Okay? But we didn't have all these factories producing goods and whatnot. That's why Dr. King was caught in some of those videos of his speeches. He calling for boycotts. He was saying boycott Wonder Bread. Boycott that bus system. Because we didn't have a parallel system. Where were we going to build? We going to build our own railroad? We going to build our own airports and all that? Again, we talking about descendants of slaves. Victims of slavery, I should say. Who never got reparations. You think people living paycheck to paycheck today, what do you think they was doing? And again, that's not to say we didn't have some quote-unquote success stories, and a few black millionaires pop up here and there, and even today we got a few black billionaires. But guess what? That ain't the condition of every black person, not in this country and not on this planet. Even in Africa, you got the very, very wealthy, and you got the very, very poor. Why do you think them people are trying to get out of Africa in certain countries? Not, you know, in addition to the poverty, the U.S. militarism, which Dr. King would be speaking out against. But here's a couple of articles for those that long for the days of segregation. I'm saying to you, segregation has not ended, and you just need to find some of the most segregated cities in America if you miss segregation so much. If you falsely believe integration destroyed the black community, then go find you a segregated city. All right? So let me play this clip about the 10 most segregated cities in America. Let's go ahead and cue that up. All right, I'm going to stop it. There's no body speaking there. It's just showing you words. So let me just read a little bit from this article. Next year will mark the 50 year. Let me get a date of this article. I just did a Google search of segregation in America and found plenty of articles. So this one was actually just published January the 12th, 4 days ago, 2018. It was published on 247wallstreet.com. Next year will mark the 50 year anniversary of the Civil Rights Act of 1968. Also known as the Fair Housing Act. The landmark bill prohibited by law long-standing practices of housing segregation based on race by landlords and local governments. Despite the law, housing discrimination never fully disappeared, and the effects of decades of discrimination are evident in U.S. cities, many of which are still highly segregated. The forced segregation of Black Americans in neighborhoods with suboptimal schooling, poor public transportation, and fewer job opportunities has led to worse social and economic outcomes for residents in those neighborhoods. To identify America's 16 most segregated cities, 247 Wall Street calculated the percentage of metropolitan area Black residents who live in predominantly Black census tracts. While certain racially homogeneous neighborhoods exist in very large metropolitan areas, some cities are far more starkly divided. In several U.S. metropolitan areas, more than one-fourth of the African-American population lives in neighborhoods that are at least 80% Black. In two metro areas, more than half of Black residents live in predominantly African-American neighborhoods. So, does it give the cities? Oh, I got to click on the next page. I'm not going to be able to read all of this because it's 6 pages long, but I will post it in BTR community. So let me bookmark it because I just did a quick Google search. I don't understand why people don't use any search engine. All this information is right there at your fingertips. You better get it now while you still can, as some people say, because we fighting for an open internet right now because they don't want people to have information. So it says our nation's capital. We were just in Washington, D.C. last year, August the 19th, for the Millions for Prisoners Human Rights March. Our nation's capital, and for many people, the physical representation of unity and freedom in the United States, Washington, D.C. is also one of the most segregated cities in the United States. About one quarter of the population is Black, a relatively large share compared to both the country as a whole and most metro areas. Some 13.8% of the population of the 100 largest metropolitan areas in the country is Black. That's pretty much representative of their national population, although I think is the numbers deflated because a lot of people don't participate in the census. Segregation in Washington largely occurs along the Anacostia River, with many poor Black neighborhoods concentrated in the southeastern parts of the city. Wealthier white communities, meanwhile, are situated in surrounding suburbs such as Arlington, Virginia, and Frederick, Maryland. Dozens of tracts in southeast Washington, D.C. have less than 1% white residents, and many tracts in the northeast have less than 1% African American. Unlike other highly segregated large cities like Washington, D.C., Dayton has a relatively small non-white population. More than 77% of Ohio's metropolitan area's 800,000 residents are white. Of those, 467,000, or over three quarters, live in mostly white neighborhoods. Also, about 13% of the white population is impoverished. Of the area's relatively small Black population, about 30% live in predominantly Black neighborhoods, and almost 35% live in poverty. In all, 62.8% of Dayton's population lives in neighborhoods that primarily consist of their respective race, one of the largest shares of segregated residents nationwide. In 1966, year I was born, also the year of the Black Panther Party, some of the worst race riots in the Dayton's history were likely caused by the city's discriminatory housing policies that resulted in the heavy racial segregation that persists today. As school systems nationwide were ordered to desegregate, Dayton was the last Ohio city to be awarded racially unitary status. That is, the federal government no longer found its schools segregated based on race. Still, although the city no longer enforces segregation by law, the Dayton school system remains largely segregated today. You know why? Because of poverty. That's why. Because of non-equal pay. Because of employment discrimination. So all the things that we were dealing with before Dr. King and the civil rights era, we're still dealing with today. So why are you missing segregation? Just Google some of these articles, and if you miss it so much, go move there. And maybe since you know so much, you can help these communities organize and lift and improve those communities. But I just think it's ignorant for people to say integration destroyed the black community when, number one, we were always integrated as victims of slavery, as second-class citizens who were not exempt from taxes nor military service. So you already integrated. But when it came to the spoils of war, because that's what that's how America enriched itself, not just slavery, but exploiting the resources of other countries. And yes, unfortunately, because of poverty forcing us to do this, even myself, joined the military for college money or for better opportunity for a job, because we didn't know any better. Many of us didn't know any better. So we weren't getting a share in the spoils of war and all these battles and wars that we won, because there ain't a war that's been won that black people did not play a key role in. But did we get in our share of the booty? No, we didn't get our share of the booty. Not that we should be demanding a share of illegal gotten gains, but it is what it is. So, like I said, this is a 6-page detailed article that you can go check out if you think segregation is over. I have another article, Poverty Segregation Persists in U.S. Schools, report says, January 11, 2018. Wow, I mean, these are recent articles. Too often, low-income black and Latino students end up in schools with crumbling walls, old textbooks, and unqualified teachers, according to a report released Thursday by the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. The commission said inequities are caused by the fact that schools are most funded with state and local tax dollars. More than 92% of funding comes from non-federal sources, according to the Education Department. The resulting imbalance renders the education available to millions of American public school students profoundly unequal, the commission said. For instance, the author said 33% of high schools with high black and Latino enrollment offer calculus, compared with 56% of high schools with low black and Latino student populations. Nationwide, 48% of schools offer the rigorous math course. On average, school districts spend about $11,000 per student each year, but the highest poverty districts receive an average of $1,200. Let me repeat that. On average, and we know who is the predominant population right now in this country, so we're talking about white kids, school districts spend around $11,000 per student each year, but the highest poverty districts receive an average of $1,200 less per child. Okay, I read that wrong, but it's still not equal than the least poor districts, while districts serving the largest numbers of minority students get about $2,000 less than those serving the fewest students of color, according to the study. The authors called on Congress to create incentives for states to adopt equitable funding systems to ensure adequate funding for students with disabilities and to increase federal funding to supplement local dollars for school districts that are underfunded. Money matters. If you don't have it, you cannot spend it, said Bruce Baker, a professor of education at Rutgers University. Baker said that states should do a better job in raising education funding and in equalizing spending among school districts. He also called for a greater federal role in making sure that less affluent states that need additional education funding get it. So I'm going to stop right there. I'm not even going to go into the second article, but I'm going to stop right there. Segregation still persists. Inequality still persists. It doesn't matter, and I've said this before, about the laws that Dr. King and others got on the books. You can put a law on the book all day long, but if an administration like a Justice Department, a federal Justice Department, or your state Department of Justice does not enforce these laws, then, hey, they might as well not exist. And for many communities, they don't exist. They don't exist. The evidence is clear. So you don't have to long for the days of segregation. All you got to do is do your research, and then you can find one of these highly segregated, high poverty areas and move there. Don't sit up there and badmouth Dr. King because he had a dream for there to be equity for us all to share in the resources. Don't badmouth him. Don't lie on him and say he destroyed something that never existed. It's not fair to him. It's not fair to you. It's not fair to your children. We have not overcome people. And slavery definitely has not been abolished. They spend more than that, $11,000, and that's in the well-funded school, $11,000 per child. Hell, in North Carolina, they spend $100,000 to incarcerate one victim of modern-day slavery. Ain't nothing changed. Ain't much changed. And sure, we don't have to suffer the indignities of being forced to go sit at the back of the bus or give up our seats to a white person. Sure, we can go eat wherever we want to eat, but the inequality is still there. It's still there. So you ain't got to long for those days. These fairy tales that some people have created in their minds so that they can denigrate the legacy of Dr. King when what they pushing ain't led to no solution. And like Max Parthas, my abolitionist comrade from New Abolitionist Radio, says, slavery is a reason for a revolution. So we can know some peace, because we ain't got no peace. None. They still enslaving us. We still we pay taxes, plenty of taxes. And everybody pays taxes. Even poor people pay taxes. They pay sales taxes. They pay, everything is taxed to death. So we paying taxes. But we are not getting a return on our quote unquote investment. And it's not like we willingly giving it to them. They put us into slavery if we try to get out of paying taxes. So that's what I got to say to those people who on MLK Day want to engage in anti-blackness and anti-Dr. Kingism. I just made up a word. Y'all know how we do. To say that we need to do our own. And I'm going to say this too. I'm going to say this. Because I posted it in our social media community for this network, btrcommunity.com. Because I was on Facebook, because I do, I'm trying to spread information and what have you, and Facebook is really suppressing a lot of our information. We're just not getting the views on our content like we used to, but we also use it as a tool to let people know that there's an alternative. So I'm on there. It's my job to be on there, to put out this information wherever the people are. But I have created safe spaces for us through the Black Talk Media Project. So, but I'm on there and I'm seeing these Dr. King integration bashing posts. And I say, and like I posted in BTR community, when Mark Zuckerberg bans you from Facebook or puts you in Facebook jail, when YouTube demonetizes your content and starts suppressing your black content on YouTube, when Twitter bans you for whatever reason, you scream racism. Don't you? You do. You know you do. You want to point out, but wait a minute. I thought you longed for the days of segregation. BTR Community is a social media network that's black owned and run, even though, you know, it's a nonprofit. But you got, what is it? BuyBlack365.com has a social media platform. My UK volunteer, Agent M, told me about Black Junction TV, BlackJunction.tv. I created an account on there. I'm distributing. I just started yesterday, but I'm going to distribute my content on there. You got black people over there. You can upload your videos and you can import them from these other platforms. There are black alternatives. Hey, you got Black Talk Radio. So you don't have to go over there and give Alan Sweet, I think that's his name, the white conservative owner of Blog Talk Radio. We got Black Talk Radio. You don't have to go to SoundCloud. Our podcasting, hosting, and distribution service is cheaper than theirs. It's $10 a month. So I'm just, I know people hate me for it, but I don't like hypocrisy. Don't scream racism when you get banned from these platforms. And then as soon as your ban is lifted, you right back on there. And you ain't supporting these black platforms that black people have put their time, energy, and resources into to create a safe black space for you. I ain't saying to abandon these other platforms. Yeah, The Art of War, Sun Tzu says that when you can use your enemy's resources, you have doubled your own. But that ain't what y'all doing. You exclusively on these white control platforms, but soon as they ban you, you want to scream racism. And then on Dr. King's Recognition Day, you want to talk about integration destroyed the black community. What are you doing? You need to take a look at yourself and stop being a hypocrite. I did check the board. We did not have any calls, and we are about to close it out. And so I just want to thank our ancestors who struggled for us, who fought for us, who died for us. And the struggle must continue. Let's not pay lip service to a Mumia Abu-Jamal. Let's not pay lip service to a Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Let's not pay lip service to a Malcolm X. Let's not pay lip service to a Fannie Lou Hamer. Let's not pay lip service to a Sojourner Truth. Let's not pay lip service to Frederick Douglass. We must honor them by continuing the work. And if you're not about that work, then you are about, I'm going to keep it cool. I'm going to keep it clean. But you ain't about it, as they say. You ain't about it. You fronting like you about it. You all talk, no action. You a hypocrite. I will be back on air with a live broadcast and a couple of guests for you next Tuesday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. But I am publishing podcasts. I'm not going to say every day because, you know, we don't have a staff because we can't afford to hire people right now. So I spend 80% of my time working and trying to make sure other black voices get put out there and what have you. But when I find extra time, I do put out these podcasts. And so you can just follow us at blacktalkradionetwork.com. Subscribe to the platform. You can follow us on btrcommunity.com. With that said, recognize the fact that we live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. I do know that the entire planet is a battlefield. The entire globe, there's war being waged on indigenous non-white people all over the planet. But we need to recognize that this is war, and we need to train like soldiers. We need to act like soldiers. We need to be very serious about this fight instead of playing games. End slavery. Peace and blessings out there to everyone. Y'all be safe.